Well, hello. It is good to be with you today. Thank you for joining us. I hope that you get a blessing from this time of being together. I know I always look forward to it. I get a blessing simply from being in the Word. But I'm so thankful that we have these means, this opportunity to meet together. But I'm thankful it's not just us meeting together, even though it's at a distance. But even more importantly, the fact that we meet with the Lord, whether it's me here or you where you are, the fact that we actually get to meet with our Lord, who desires for us to know Him, who desires to speak to us, who desires for us to grow in His grace. And so since we've really come to meet with Him, wherever we are and whatever time it is you're watching this, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You for giving us this time, O Lord, and thank You for Your Word. And Father, thank You that You desire to speak to us through it. Father, I pray now, O Lord, that You open our minds and our hearts. Give us understanding. Lord, enable us to hear from You. Father, more than anything else in this time, O God, we need You. Speak to us, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, I hope that you are having a great day today. I hope everything is going just as you planned it would or hoped that it would, that maybe you're even seeing some long-term things coming to fruition. But also realize that there's a very real possibility you're not having a good day. In fact, as you may even classify this as a very difficult day, a hard day. Maybe you're facing some type of a problem or an adversity, some type of difficulty. Something has developed that you were not expecting, and you're facing a very difficult day. Now, as you face that, you know you should believe, you know you should trust, but really you're struggling with that right now. How do we face those times? Now, the usual answer is, well, we need to increase our faith. We need to grow our faith. And certainly our faith grows as we mature as believers. But the answer really is not so much a quantitative thing, that is the amount of our faith, but where our faith is in fact located. The object of our faith, that is the Lord. And the more we see of Him, and the more we know of Him, the easier it is to trust. Imagine if you were facing some terrible, powerful storm at sea. If you think all you're in is a canoe, you're probably going to be very frightened, no matter how much you might try to psych yourself up to not be. If you think you're in a canoe in the middle of a storm, you're going to be scared. If, on the other hand, you realize that you're not in a canoe, you're in a 100,000-ton aircraft carrier, you have a whole lot more confidence. In a similar way, the more we see of God's greatness, in fact, in an even greater way, the more we see of God's greatness, the easier it is for us to trust. Well, what is it about God that makes Him so trustworthy? And that's what we see as we come to Psalm 31. As we look at some verses from this psalm, a sampling, if you will, certainly not trying to diminish or discount the worth of any verse inspired by God, but our time is limited. And as we look at this psalm, we see once more a psalm of David as he faced difficult times. It was also a messianic psalm. There's also a psalm that gives a reference to our Lord and to His experience. But as we look at this psalm, we see what it is about God that makes Him worthy of our trust. We see that, first of all, He is the righteous God. Everything that God does is based on righteousness and justice. Look at what we see here in verse 1. In You, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. In Your righteousness, deliver me. Obviously, again, this is David. Ultimately, it's a prophecy about our Lord when He came to live, die, and rise again for our sins. But I want you to think about it. What the whole basis of their hope and trust in the Father was, His righteousness, that everything that He does is right. You know what a comfort that is for us, that our God is not a God of wrongness, if you'll allow me to make up a word. Our God is not a God who relishes or enjoys that which is wrong. We do not have a God who will allow wrong to indefinitely prevail. He will only allow wrong to prevail to bring about His ultimate, true righteousness. We need to remember that we have a righteous God. and how comforting this is, especially if we're in a situation when the problem or the adversity or the trial has been brought about by unrighteous man. You know, in everyday life, we encounter unrighteous people doing very awful, wicked things, and sometimes aim those things against us financially or in other matters. We can trust in a God who is in fact righteous. As we look at our nation right now, it's a comfort as we pray for our nation. We pray to a God who is in fact righteous, and a God who will not allow wickedness and evil and sin to go on indefinitely. And we can rest in Him, and we can pray confidently in Him. So why can we trust this God? Because He is righteous. But not only is He the righteous God, but He is the secure God. He is the never-failing source of security. Think of what we read in verses 2 through 5. Incline your ear to me, rescue me quickly. Be to me a rock of strength, a stronghold to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, you will lead me and guide me. You will pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength. Into your hand I commit my spirit, for you have ransomed me, O Lord, God of truth. Now you probably recognize verse 5. It was one of our Lord's sayings when He was upon the cross. And this is why it's a messianic psalm. But I cannot help but think about that. And also think about Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in time of trouble. You know, a few moments ago, you used the illustration about being in a storm, and it makes a big difference if you think you're in a canoe or an aircraft carrier, if you're in the midst of a storm. But you know what's even more important than whether you're in a canoe or in an aircraft carrier? Is the one who's in it with you. If you realize that the one who's actually in it with you is, in fact, this great God who gives security of His people, it changes everything. Do you remember when the disciples were afraid in the boat in the middle of the storm and our Lord calmed the wind, calmed the waves? Do you remember what they began to ask among themselves? Who is this that even the winds and the waves obey Him? My friend, think about the one who is in your boat. He is a never-failing source of security. And you think about it again, this is a messianic psalm. And you think about what that ought to mean for us. Not just an understanding of and a prophecy of our Lord, but you think about the lesson that we can learn from that as our Lord relied upon this in His trust for the Father as He went to the cross. If our Lord could trust the Father because He was a perfect sense of security, even when facing death on the cross, what should that tell you and me about trusting the Lord in the midst of our problems that we face? Our Lord knew the Father was the secure God, the God who gives security in even the worst of times. What a lesson for us in whatever we face. He is the secure God. But notice as well, He is also the involved God. And I know most of these terms I'm using are really not correct theological, biblical terms, but they express the thought, and I hope that you follow with me and give me the liberty to use them. He is the involved God. Our God is not just out there somewhere. He is not, as some people refer to Him, merely as the man upstairs. Certainly, the Father is sovereign and on His throne. But through His Spirit, our Lord is with us. In fact, He is with us. Our Lord is omnipresent. He is everywhere. He is, even though you and I are apart right now, He's with us. He's with me. He's with you. Even though we may be watching this at different times, and probably are, He's with me here, now. He's with you, wherever you are, right now, as you're watching this. He is with us and He is working. Think of what we read in verses 6 through 8. I hate those who regard vain idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will rejoice and be glad in your loving kindness because you have seen my affliction. You have known the troubles of my soul, and you've not given me over into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a large place. Think about some of the terms there. God, you have seen me. God, you're watching me. You see me. You have known. You have set my feet. Think of what we read if we drop down to verses 23 and 24. Oh, love the Lord, all you his godly ones. The Lord preserves the faithful and fully recompenses the proud doer. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. Did you hear that? He preserves. He recompenses. He moves. He works. God is in fact involved. He is with you. He is working now. Yes, many times it is unseen to us. Almost we would use the term behind the scenes. But he's always working. Do you remember the story of Elisha? One of the times the Arameans tried to capture Elisha, and his servant went out and looked around and saw the army of the Arameans surrounding them and got all panicked. And Elisha wasn't worried, and Elisha prayed, God basically opened his eyes, and Elisha's servant, the Lord opened the eyes of Elisha's servant, and he saw that the mountains around them were surrounded by the armies of God, so to speak, the chariots of fire. God was involved. God was with Elisha and was working. God is with you and working. Whatever the situation you're in, believer, you're not in it alone. You're not wherever it is you are right now by yourself. God is there. But notice as well, number four, he is the good God. Now, I'm just going to use that as a blanket term to describe his love, his loving kindness, his graciousness. Think of what we read in verse 7. But I will rejoice and be glad in your loving kindness because you have seen my affliction. You've known the troubles of my soul. Look at verses 19 through 22. How great is your goodness which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you have wrought for those who take refuge in you before the sons of men. You hide them in the secret place of your presence from the conspiracies of man. You keep them secretly in a shelter from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has made marvelous his loving kindness to me in a besieged city. As for me, I said in my alarm, I am cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, you've heard the voice of my supplications when I cried to you. Over and over, he expresses how wonderful, how loving, how good the Lord is for those who trust him. You know, unlike us, God does not have good days and bad days. Our Lord is not like a person who's normally very good and helpful and cheerful, but didn't get a good night's sleep last night, or maybe has a toothache, and as a result is just not himself. God is always himself, and God is always good, and knowing his goodness encourages us to pray. Look at verses 9 through 13. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted away from grief, my soul and my body also. For my life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength has failed because of my iniquity and my body has wasted away. Because of all my adversaries, I've become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I'm forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I'm like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many, terrors on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they schemed to take away my life. Obvious. David's going through a very difficult time right now. But he could pray in confidence because of the goodness of God. Believer, we're not going to mince any words or gloss over. You may be going through a very difficult time right now, a heart-wrenching time right now. But as we've already stated, you're not going through it alone. God is with you. God is working. And God is good. And then tie that with the last thing that we'll look at in the psalm, and that is the fact that he is the sovereign God. Look at verses 14 through 15. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute you. My times are in your hand. God, you are in absolute control. Our God rules and reigns over everything. Our God is not like a kind-hearted, sympathetic friend who deeply loves us, but has no power to really change the situation. I'm thankful for them because they can go with us through the problem. They can stand with us. They can pray with us. But in and of themselves, they don't have the power to change the problem. God loves us more than anyone possibly can, and He has absolute power, rules over the situation, and He's in control of it, and He can change it, and He can fulfill His will in it. He is the sovereign God. Why can we trust? You think of the God that we're with. What a God we serve. You know, we are often like the disciples in the boat. We look at the wind, we look at the waves, and it's hard for us to trust. And we get focused on trying to increase the quantity of our faith. The solution for the quantity of faith is not somehow just trying to grow it in and of itself. It's to look at the one whom our faith is in. The more we see Him, the more faith we'll have in Him. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, again, we thank You for this day. And, O Lord God, we praise You for the God that You are. Lord, open our eyes to see You in Your greatness, Your goodness, Your sovereignty, Your involvement. O Lord, by looking at You, may we be able to trust You more. And Father, we especially pray for those who are going through a very difficult time right now, whether it's emotional or financial or relational, physical, whatever the case may be. O Lord God, carry them. Give them, O God, an even greater glimpse of Your glory and Your greatness. And from that glimpse, may they be able to trust You. Be with them, O God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope as you go through this day that you will see our Lord, keep your eyes on Him, and as a result of seeing Him in His greatness, that you do have a great day in Him.